Welcome to the Digital Agency Pros Podcast. I'm Andrew McBurney, your host of Digital Agency Pros, and in this podcast, we sit down and talk to CEOs, founders, and professionals in the marketing world and talk shop all things related to building an agency and marketing. All right, let's go.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode. And today we have Jason Lockhart, who is an NKBA sales and marketing specialist with over 20 years experience in the architecture industry. He's the part owner of an architecture and planning firm and was an associate professor at Southern University and LSU. With both his educational and practice experience, Jason now uses that knowledge along with his team to apply specialized digital marketing solutions to their interior design and kitchen and bath industry. Welcome, Jason. Why don't you start off and tell us a bit about how you got to where you're at and kind of how you went through that transition.
Okay, sure. Thanks for having me on today, Andrew. So as you said, my name is Jason Lockhart and my background is actually in architecture. So I've been in the architecture industry for over 20 years. I've taught at, like you said, Southern University and at LSU in the School of Architecture and in the School of Interior Design. And around 2008, we had opened up our own architecture firm here within the Dallas area. And we also have an office in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And what happened is on the architecture side, we do a lot of urban planning and we do a lot of school design and commercial work. So a lot of the times we use interior designers to help us with that aspect of the architecture finish outs. And one of the interior designers around 2013, 2014 reached out to us to do some SEO. She said, I've been hearing about these SEOs. that was her exact terminology. So I was like, okay. And so she said, can you help me? I said, well, I've done the SEO for our own firm. So I knew somewhat of a lot because I taught a digital marketing class at LSU. And so I had to learn a lot of this, and that was a whole different story there, but had to learn a lot of that to teach that class. And then, so I did a lot of that for our own architecture firm. So since she helped us out on the projects, did some SEO for her, about 6 to 8 months later, she had started to gain some traction. And one of her colleagues reached out to her and said, what are you doing? I'm starting to see you online more. So she referred her to us and we helped her out. And then 6 to 8 months later, about a year later, we started to get more referrals from designers. And so after that, I was like, okay, well, we need to just open up a whole division just where we do marketing for designers, because I was doing all of this, just helping them out because they were, you know, refer to us. So that was the start actually of kitchen and bath remodeling. Kitchen and bath marketing solutions. That was right around 2014. And so what happened, honestly, all the way up until 2019, we were all referral based. So we didn't really market our marketing agency, which is ironic enough. But, you know, around 2020, around the end of 2019, 2020, that's when we decided to really go all in and really market this and grow our name nationally. And so we help out, you know, interior designers, home remodelers, and architects. And we like the niche that we're in because we know our audience and we know who we're helping. And like I had told you offline, we do have a couple small businesses that we help that are outside the niche, but we didn't market to them. They actually came to us through our own clients, through referrals, but we don't market to any other industry. We really focus on what we know well, and that's the design and remodel industry.
I love that. Yeah, I imagine that would give you a massive advantage and edge against other people. Just make you overall more attractive to anybody in the industry, talking to someone who knows the industry and the marketing side of things. It's a really cool combination. Now, when you got to that point where you're like, okay, let's go all in now, what did that look like? Is that like paid advertising? Did you start new marketing initiatives? Were you doing sales efforts? Like, were you building processes? Like, what was going on around that time?
So what happened at the end of 2019, I actually had a conversation with my partners on the architectural side, and we were looking at what can we invest in so when the economy turns south, because we know in the architecture industry, because when we opened up the architecture firm, it was around 2007, 2008, that was right around the housing debacle. And so we know the U.S. economy every decade and a half or so, there's a downturn. It's just, you know, that's just how the economy works. It's just inevitable. And when that happens, architecture and construction are always the industries that are hit first. And so we said, okay, well, where can we diversify and invest more? And then we had talked about, well, we have this marketing agency that we really haven't put a whole lot of emphasis in or a whole lot of oomph into it. We've just been, you know, gaining clients here and there. So I said, well, why don't we invest in the marketing side? And so that was the start of all that. So what that meant is that I really moved over here full time. And I've really been, you know, doing a lot of promotions. So we had joined the National Kitchen and Bath Association. I had started to do a lot of, you know, speaking engagements, because that's easy for me, because I used to teach anyway. So honestly, speaking is just an aspect of teaching. And so that's just like second nature for me. So I've been doing a lot of that. We have been running ads mainly, but what the main thing is that we've been networking and just trying to let others know that we are here, because you were talking about the marketing agency. So a lot of the remodeling and design firms that we have worked with, they've had marketing agencies in the past. And one of the issues that they've had is that they don't really know how to write for us. Like if they do blogs or for the SEO side, or if they do social media, they always have to relook at what they write. And one of the clients we had, I had just spoke with her last week, and she said, I've been in the industry for over 22 years and I've had marketing agencies all this time and I haven't been happy with their work. And one of the reasons why is because a lot of the blogs, I have to rewrite what they wrote. Because they really don't understand our industry. She said, I've had you for 9 months. After the first month, I haven't really read anything that you've had to write, because you know what to write about. And so that is one of the reasons that we really excel, is because we know the language. And so it's easier for us when we talk to designers or remodelers. I can say, yes, we know marketing, because I have a team. It's not just me. And like I said, on my team, there are people that run circles around me in SEO and PPC, but I'm the bridge to help make sure that they really understand industry, and that content that we put out for our clients is representative of them and our industry.
Yeah, that's so important too. Like when you're a small business owner, you have so much on the go. The last thing you want to do is become a content editor because your agency doesn't know what they're talking about. I love that. I actually ran into a similar thing whenever I niched into the dental industry for a couple of years, and I got my ass handed to me immediately because I didn't know so much about the industry going into it, right? Basically just got a dental client, and I was like, I like working with them. So we kind of expanded out from there. And I had to sit down and learn what you can say and what you can't say. Like in that industry, for example, you can't write a thing that would come off as a medical claim, right? So it's like how you say something is very important. Whereas like in other industries, you can speak in certain tones, whereas you can't in the dental article. So learning all that sorts of stuff, and then finding a content writer who you kind of teach them that process and then just repeat that over and over and over again was really helpful. And we got comments like that too, where it's like, it's nice getting that feedback, or where it's like, they look at it, of course, they're dentists, they have to, their name's on the line, but then they don't have to go into copy editor mode. That's awesome. So it sounds like you've got a lot going on with two businesses. Now, in terms of the architecture side of things, was there a point where you were like, okay, I'm putting this down, kind of becoming more behind the scenes over here and going all in there? Or was it kind of like a ramp up process?
Well, what happened, because see, I actually have three partners on the architectural side. So mm-hmm. it was a little easy because they were able to handle most of it and I'd handle most of the planning. And so usually when we have an urban planning project, that's more of a consultation as opposed to a hard on work. And so it's easy. It was easier for me to transition over here because I'm over here now, I'll say about 90% of the time on the marketing side, 10% on the architecture side. But on that 10%, it's mainly on just doing consultation on the planning side. Most of the architecture is handed by my partners, and we have a team over there that handles that aspect. So it was not as hard to transition over here. The hardest part in transitioning over was just to really know how I'm gonna organize my time. Because you know, I knew how to organize my time on the architecture side because I've been in the industry for about 20 years. But on the marketing side, it was learning a whole new, okay, where do I spend most of my time? And I've learned over time is I need to spend my time mainly with the income producing activity. And that's what I use IPA. Income producing activities. That's where I need to spend my time. Where can my time be best spent so I can bring income in for the rest of the team? And so that's what I had to figure out year one, you know, really 2020, that's what that was about, really figuring that out. Where is my time best spent? And I have figured out for myself, it was in the networking. It was in, cause I had also wrote a book. So I wrote a book called The Complete Guide to Internet Marketing for the Kitchen and Bath Industry. And it was all about marketing with a twist on how do you market for design and remodel industries. And then you know, promoting that, getting into, you know, like I said, we have a connection with the National Kitchen and Bath Association. So speaking at their events, training. And so that's where I've been most beneficial of my time is just networking, meeting people. So, you know, people can get to know, like, and trust us. And so when they talk to us, it's easier for them to become a client.
I love that. And it's so true how powerful it is when you actually figure out where you should be spending your time, what is going to bring in that income. And then I always find it interesting too, because you kind of have to layer in what are you also good at, right? You're a very easy person to talk to. I could see you being a very good networker, being easy to kind of go out there and connect with people, right? Going to conferences and that sort of thing. But then there's other people who are like, their kind of skill set is like deep technical work or whatever, right? And on your team, do you instill that philosophy down to each individual's like strength, or is that just more of like a personal thing that you carry forward in your, like when you're planning your day to day?
Right. So when I hire, I hire for skill, but more so than skill, what I've learned over time is to hire for attitude, is to make sure it's a good fit. Cause even if their skill is not 100% up to par, I can send them to all of the trainings of the world because, like I said before, I had really learned the marketing industry when I had to teach that at LSU. I went to every SEO, PPC, web design conference in like a 4-month span because in between May and August is when I had to learn this to teach it.
Right.
And
right.
I went to every conference under the sun, social media world, SEO stuff, and all of this stuff. And it was like drinking water from a fire hose, so much information. So I know, having went through that process, even if the skill is not 100% up to par, I can have them learn the skill. But the attitude is something that if it's not a right fit, then it's not going to be good for our organization as a whole. So, and I'm all about that. And I've always had the attitude, if I'm the smartest one in the room, I'm in the wrong room. So I'm always surrounding myself with people that can help to push me to that next level and I can learn from. And so I actually, and you know, like I had talked about earlier, I have a team, you know, surrounded by me that know SEO way better than I do, social media way better than I do. I know enough to be dangerous and I could talk to it to a designer, but the hand, the day-to-day, they don't want me doing all that.
No, that's awesome. And there are so many different seats to fill. And the one that you're talking about that you're good at is arguably the most important, because without that seat filled adequately, there's no work to do. There's no SEO to do, right?
Right. Correct.
So I love that, how you're talking about that distinction. Now, when it comes to growing your business, how do you think about that? Like, do you have certain initiatives that are working well and you're kind of rinsing and repeating? Are you testing new ideas? If you want to share a bit of your process around that.
Yeah, it's a little of all of that. So we do a plan, and we had just did a plan about a month ago where we had planned for where we want to be at the end of 2022. And then we reverse engineer that and say, okay, well, if we notice where we want to be, what does that mean each month that we have to produce and do all that? And then we actually check in each quarter to see where we are, if we hit the mark. We don't hit the mark every quarter. Sometimes we are, but because we track it, we know where we missed the boat and what we have to enhance on. Mm-hmm. So we do that all the time. And in terms of knowing where we want to be, that's the main thing. We plan that out for the year, for the quarter, and then the month. And we do a lot of testing on our own too. So with our own marketing, like I tell our own clients, we spend more on marketing than we ask you to do. And a lot of the times that's so we can see what works and what does not work, because there's a lot of shiny objects out there that our own clients hear about. Well, we heard about this, what is this? And so we like to test and try that out to see if it does work or if it does not. Mm. And so we do a lot of that on our own. And then for our own marketing, we do that. And we spend a lot of time, I spend a lot of my time networking, because that's where we've seen most of our clients come from, is from the events. Mm. And so, like I had told you right before we hopped on, there's going to be an event, which is the Kitchen and Path Industry Show. That's the largest trade show in North America for our industry. Mm. So we're going to have a booth at that event, and I'm going to also be speaking at the event. So that's where I get a lot of our clients, is just by being at these events, networking with people, because Zoom is amazing and it's great, but you know, people really get to know, like, and trust you when they can see you, they can talk to you, they can shake your hand, and they can get to know how you are, because, you know, at the end of the day, people are going to do business with those they know, like, and trust. And if they really had a chance to meet you, see you, understand you, it's easier for them to do business with you. So that's where we've seen we get a lot of our businesses is being live at these events.
Mm-hmm. Especially too in the global economy, where these small businesses are getting offers to get help with their marketing from every direction, right? Exactly. Whether it's coming from Canada, the US, or overseas, or anywhere, right? And having that in-person connection instantly sets you apart, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I can't agree more with what you're saying there. Now with the conference, it sounds like an exciting opportunity. Is that something that is new to you, or is that something you got started in a while ago speaking at events?
Well, I went to the conference last year. They didn't have the conference because it was all virtual. But the year before that, it was actually in Vegas, and I was at that conference, met a lot of people, and that was a great experience. We didn't actually have a booth at the event, but met a lot of people. This one here, because I will be one of the speakers at the event, I said, well, we have to have a booth, because that's a way to actually maximize it, is that as I speak, I'll say, well, if you want to know more information, or if you want to talk to us afterwards, head by our booth so we can have a conversation. So this will be a first for us to have a booth at this event. We have had one at another event, and we had some success there. And I've been on stage, like I said, over and over, because this, you know, natural to me, because I used to teach. So I used to speak at conferences all the time.
Right.
So that's not new, but, and that's something that I miss, because last year I didn't have a chance to do a lot of that. I'm going to do more of that this year. And to be honest, I've had to speak on Zoom, and it's completely different. It's harder for me to gauge a room to see if you're really interested, because you could be looking on your phone, or you could be looking at the screen, but you could be looking at something in Facebook or something else and not really paying attention.
Yeah.
So whereas if I'm in person, I can see if you're really paying attention. And if I'm boring you to death, now I can switch it up and change a little bit, add some tonality to my voice and make sure that I can call you out, make sure you're actually paying attention. We're on Zoom, that's a little hard. So so I'm gonna be happy to get back into in-person presentations.
Yeah, I love that. I actually have a funny story with the first time I ever spoke in COVID. It was like, it wasn't a huge room. It was like 50 people or so. They're all on the Zoom call, hour-long presentation. The whole time, I didn't have my settings set up properly, or maybe it was the presenter, but it was just one person's face I could see. It wasn't the presenter, it was, or the host rather. It was one of the people on the call. It was just a random person. I didn't know this person. And luckily, like, she was like listening really well and she was very receptive and she kept smiling and whatnot. But I can only imagine how quickly that presentation would have gone downhill if that was somebody who was like looking away from the camera, scrolling on their phone the whole time.
Exactly.
I love that, man. And then also, so I want to ask you a little bit about your book and then a little bit about your podcast as well. So with the book, I think that's a phenomenal idea, building like not only just niching into an industry, but then literally writing the book on it, right? I think that's genius. What did the process look like whenever you were doing that? Is that something that you planned out for a while? Did you hire somebody to help you? Like, what did that look like?
Well, what happened is I actually hired a coach. So I had moved over to, you know, the marketing side full time. And as I said, I want to know how to spend my time. I said, let me not try to figure this out on my own. Let me hire a coach that's been through this. And he's actually taught other agencies how to scale. And one of the first things he says, you're already in a niche that you know. It was his suggestion. He was like, why don't you write a book? He was like, you've already been doing marketing for a while. You can almost explain the concept of what you do for your clients. And that's honestly what it is. It's a chapter on each element, web design, SEO. And honestly, it's just our layout of how we work with our own clients. So that's how we went into that. And the book has helped me because it's helped me get other speaking engagements. I have the book now. Now they can say I'm a published author, and that's how they present me. And so it just helps to hand me a little bit more credibility to my backstory. And how we did the podcast, that happened because of Clubhouse. So the app Clubhouse, we were on Clubhouse. So I got on the Clubhouse, I spoke in the room with other designers, and one of the interior designers in the room, she was running the room and she loved what I talked about and my energy. So she said, why don't you help me with Clubhouse? So I started to help her out. And so we actually had a weekly call on Clubhouse. But what was happening, you know, as everything started to open up last year, we started to see less and less people in the room. And so we started to hear people say, well, great information, but I cannot always make your Clubhouse event. And at the time, Clubhouse didn't have a way to record the call. They have that now, but at that time they didn't have a way. So we was like, well, why don't we do a podcast? We didn't know what we were getting into. We didn't know the amount of work that it was going to require to do a podcast, but it has been helpful to us because it's been widely received in the design industry. And there's a lot of designers that reach out to us and say, we actually love what you say and what you have to talk about on your podcast, because the podcast is all about marketing, PR, and business development for the design industry. And so we've been hearing rave reviews about that. So it's been, you know, a pleasant surprise how well received it has been in the design community.
I love that. And then, yeah, and I imagine that would really help with your sales and marketing, like you alluded to, just to position you as that authority in the industry. Now, when you're out closing new clients, are you selling like packages? Are you selling retainers? Are they all just custom built solutions based on kind of what they need? Or do you guys specialize in certain things? I know you mentioned web design and SEO. What does that look like within the agency?
So we actually have packages. So we have two main packages that has worked well, but depending on the clients, what I like to do, I like to have a 15-minute discovery call. Just to, and no pressure, no selling, just to learn the client. just to learn what their issues are, what their real issues are, to see if the packages will fit or if we need to customize it just a little bit for that client. And so I want to really see what their issues are, because I don't want to say, okay, well, we have this and it works for XYZ in Chicago, but you're in New York, and say it's going to work for you, because it may not work. Mm-hmm. And so I want to really learn what their issues are, what they need. And then if the package is a fit, then on the next call, I'll actually offer them that. Or if we have to customize it, do it that way. But we do have the general package, but at the same time, we have some customization in there also. And then one of the offers we have that's a little different than a lot of other marketing agencies is the rendering and the drawing here. And so we do a lot of rendering for our clients, like you see behind us. So this is actually a render that looks real. But this is something that a lot of our clients on the design side, they may not have the time to do, or they may not have the manpower. And so we can help them and augment that. And we were able to offer that because I have the architecture firm, and we were able to have some people help out on the design side. And so that's a little added value that we offer over other marketing agencies, because we just have that knowledge on how to do it.
Yeah, that really would I imagine that would decommoditize you against other marketing agencies. If somebody's just offering SEO and you come on with that level of specialized services, that I imagine that would be appealing.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And that's the one. And honestly, this is about us evolving over time, because we honestly, when we started this, you know, in, what was that, 2014, we didn't have render as an option. Right. We just had the basics, SEO, social media, PPC. That was the basic at the time. But as we got clients, one of our clients, this was about 3 years ago, she needed help, and she did renderings on her own, but she was overwhelmed. And she said, well, don't you have an architecture firm? I said, yeah. She's like, don't y'all do renderings? I said, we do. She's like, well, I need some help. I need you to help us out. And that's exactly how the conversation went. She said, I need your help. And so I had talked to, you know, my people on that side, and then we helped out. She loved the render. She was like, look, y'all did this faster than we can. And what you charged was less than me paying my own people to do it. I'm about to hire you to do this over and over. And so once we ironed out, you know, how the system and the process of that work, we just started to offer that to other clients. And now it's almost a one-off. A lot of times we do, because a lot of times that's our way in the door with a lot of designers that may not need the marketing help. They just may use us just for rendering and drawing.
I'm hearing a recurring theme here, which I really love, where it seems like you stumble across needs that need filled, and then you just supply that that talent, that service. I feel like, especially in marketing, because the barrier to entry is so low these days, where all you really need is a computer, and you can call yourself a marketer. That level of I guess like really understanding kind of where you're coming from, right? Now, with the, I'm not sure how to ask this question. When you're going with to these agencies, right? How are you positioning that level of service without derailing the marketing position? Because I feel like that level of service would almost come from more of an assistant side of things, as opposed to direct marketing, or is that part of marketing?
So usually, like I said, that's why I have the discovery call first. And so that's the whole point of it, is to see what their need is. Because a lot of times in that call, and that also helps to disarm when I'm talking to a designer, because I start off by saying this is the discovery call. We're not going to talk about pricing, services, or anything. It's here for me to get to know you to get to know me. And that lowers their, I'm not going to be sold on this call. Like, no. This is all for me to understand what your issue is, because we may not be a good fit for you. And that's what I say. We don't work with everybody. So that's also something that differentiates us from others, is that we actually we actually have a proximity clause where we have a 15 mile radius. Whoever we work with, we won't work with anybody else in that area. And that's because if we do SEO and PPC, you know, with SEO and PPC, you're competing with, you know, somebody in that area. Mm-hmm. So if we work with a lot of people in the same area, we're diluting the effectiveness that we can have for our clients.
Right.
So that's why when I say that disclaimer, that also disarms, like, okay, well, just because we're talking, that don't mean you're a good fit for us just as much as we're a good fit for you. So I'm seeing where that is. Mm-hmm. And so that helps to disarm a lot. And so from that call, I find out what the real issues are. Sometimes they don't need marketing. They need the rendering help. And I'll hear that in, you know, a lot of the questions we ask on what their real issues are. And so that helps me frame what the next call is about. In the next call, that's when we start to talk about the packages and the offerings and the cost. And so it's actually tailored to what their issues is, and not just general, this is what we do and this is the cost.
I love that. And I think that speaks to you and your firm's integrity. If you're not just shoving a service down their throat to make a quick buck, and you're generally, like, you're genuinely looking out for what they need. That's one of the...
And not to interrupt you, that's something that, you know, we actually reach out to a lot of marketing agencies also. And that throws them off. They say, but you're a marketing agency, why are you reaching? I said, exactly. For two reasons. One, we're niched. So we work only with architects, home remodelers, and interior designers. Mm. But a lot of the times we get referrals from outside industries. Mm. We want to have relationships with other marketing agencies so we can refer those off to. Mm. And we also have some connections with other agencies that are in our same niche, because like I said, we only take so many in an area. So if we have a market that we're tapped out on and we talk to a designer in that area, we may not be able to help them, but we have a marketing agency that can.
And so
we're all about collaboration. We don't believe in competition.
Right. I love that. Yeah. That coming from that abundance mindset. Mm. That's really cool. Now, when it comes down to it, let's say that you've identified somebody, they have the need, they have the desire as well to get this problem solved. Maybe it's just a SEO campaign, right? Or whatever. How do you go about kind of transitioning into that working relationship? Are there certain steps you take at the beginning to make things smoother later on in the process? What does that look like within your agency?
Yeah, so we just honestly, and it's interesting you ask that, because we just revised our intake process about 4 months ago. That was in October of last year. So now, because one of the bottlenecks that we saw at the start was intake, getting all of the information we need for the client and getting everything ironed out. So we videoed that. So my operations manager, she had videoed a walkthrough. It's a complete walkthrough of every service that we have. So no matter what it is, there's a video intake that walks the client through the process. And you know, depending on what the service is, it takes them anywhere between 15 minutes and a half hour to complete it. But once they do that intake, we have all the information we need to start and hit the ground running, as opposed to having to wait a week to get, you know, access to their Google Analytics or to get access to this. And, you know, that used to slow down the process. And it used to have our clients wondering, so what is the holdup? Why isn't anything happening? Like, we've been trying to catch up with your web developer. We haven't got access to XYZ. And so, yeah, so that has helped streamline our process, just our operations in general. It's just having to automate that intake process and have it where we walk them through in a video, as opposed to an email that says where they have to read everything. In a video, walking them through it just made our lives a whole lot easier.
That's cool. Yeah, I've definitely played with a lot of different variations of that. And the one that that ended up working for me was always just getting that, because like it was almost always retainers that I sold, right? So getting them on the retainer, knowing that, like, hey, here's the next five things that we're going to do, right? Number one is put your credit card in, make the first payment, put down the deposit, right? And then it's like that way, it's like you got that kind of that biggest hump. And then it's like, okay, step two, give me access to your Google My Business, right? And then it's just like one by one by one by one. And it was like, I found when I sent those, like you alluded to, it's like you send this email with like five requests in it and it never look at it, right? So I love that idea about building that video and that interactive, because it is easier to kind of sit down and listen to somebody and you kind of feel like you have support over video as opposed to just reading a boring cold email, right?
Exactly. And that has been from our own clients. That's been received tremendously. They said they loved that. It was easy. She heads through, and it's a if or then. So we have the video for if you do not have this, click here. If you have it, click here. So it's step by step. So no matter where you are in the process, it helps you.
I like that. That's cool. Yeah, that's neat. That's like a really interactive onboarding experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Awesome, man. Well, let's wrap up here in a minute. But before we do, are there any entrepreneurs that you follow, maybe in or outside of marketing, that you just follow and kind of keep up with their stuff?
Yeah. One of the people I follow is Pat Flynn. Hmm. And we follow him because we had took his... before we started our own podcast, we took his course on what to do. And that's where I was over. I was like, wow. And so what he helped to break everything down. Hmm. So we follow him. And he used to be in architecture too, because I talked to him way back. I talked to Pat back in 2012. Hmm. And it was just interesting how his background and mine was almost the same, because he was in architecture, then he went into digital marketing. Hmm. And now he's more so known, you know, a lot of people now that know him don't even know he has a background in architecture. So
yeah, I had no idea. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, so he's one of the ones we look at. There's a few others, but he's the one that actually comes to mind because we still talk every now and then. So yeah, he's
awesome. And then in terms of books that maybe you read in the beginning stages of your career, maybe just recently, are there any books that you read and really resonated with that you can speak on?
Of course, obviously, you have the 4-day work week. You have the E-Myth. I would recommend those. One I'm reading now is called Never Split the Difference by Christopher Voss. Mm-hmm. He used to be an FBI negotiator.
Mm.
And so he talks about how to negotiate and how to talk, and that can help you out with either prospects or clients. And it's helped me out in how I have the discovery calls, how I have the strategy calls, and it helps me on how I network. So it just, because he actually teaches about how no is you want to get the no out the way. Mm-hmm. And I know when I first started, I used to hate to hear the word no. Mm-hmm. Now I love it. I want to get the no because what the word I don't want to hear is maybe.
right.
Maybe waste my time. Maybe I need to talk to such. I'm like, I want to get to a no so I can move on.
Right. I love that. And what about podcasts? Are there any podcasts that you listen to, whether it's inside or outside of marketing?
Yeah. So I obviously, Pat, I listen to Ask Pat and what's that, Smart Passive Income. So his podcast. Also listen to I Digress. That's with Troy Sandich. Actually had him. He was on our podcast about a month ago. Mm-hmm. And he's heavy in marketing. He's on the HubSpot network.
Okay.
And most of the other podcasts I listen to are in the design industry. So I'm always listening to other designers. One is the Designer PS podcast. And that one, I listened to Luann Nugawa, her podcast. And there's a few others, because always listening to others in our industry to see what I may not know or may not have heard of, just to hear that. So yeah, and then our own, obviously, yeah.
right. Awesome. And that's cool. And if people want to find you online, why don't you drop your agency website link, and we'll link everything below as well. Also your book and also your podcast.
Okay. So our agency is, you can find us at kitchenandbathmarketingsolutions.com or the acronyms KABMS.com. And so that's the agency. And then the book, it's everywhere on Amazon and all the places, called The Complete Guide to Internet Marketing for the Kitchen and Bath Industry. And then our podcast is Designer Discussions. And you can head there to our website, designerdiscussions.com.
Awesome, Jason. Well, this has been a great show, and I thank you for coming on the show.
I appreciate you having me, Andrew, and had a great time.